Diamond seeks certification to go unleaded. American Eagle's plans for restructuring don't please everyone. And a push toward tourism could help grow U.S. air travel. This is Aero News for Friday, March 23, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Diamond Aircraft has announced that it is actively pursuing certification of unleaded fuel operations for its gasoline-powered models, starting with the popular Lycoming-powered versions of the DA-40 single and DA-42 twin-engine aircraft. Diamond's ultimate goal is to offer its customers a choice of power plant solutions and environmentally responsible fuel options to support individual preferences and region-specific needs. Lycoming's upcoming Service Instruction 1070R and European Aviation Safety Administration Safety Information Bulletin 2011-01R1 will clear the way for European-based Lycoming-powered Diamonds to operate with ASTM D7547 UL91 unleaded avgas in the very near future. Diamond says it is committed to ensuring that its currently produced and already delivered aircraft will be compatible with as many fuels as possible, with potential airframe retrofits, if required, kept to a minimum, to ensure that regardless of which unleaded aviation gasoline ultimately emerges and prevails in the U.S. and other markets, Diamond owners can be confident of the continued long-term viability of Lycoming-powered DA-40 and DA-42 aircraft. American Eagle has laid out a restructuring plan that cuts $75 million in annual employee costs, a move that the carrier's labor groups are eyeing somewhat skeptically, to say the least. Dallas television station KTXA reports that American Eagle's CEO Dan Garten said in a letter sent to employees that, quote, "We are committed to ensuring that all of American Eagle's work groups will share fairly and equitably in this restructuring effort," end quote. The letter did not announce any layoffs, but it does freeze pay for longtime employees and cuts benefits to some part-time workers. The flight attendants and mechanics unions expressed displeasure with a plan that they say penalizes long-term employees because they are too costly to the airline. In addition to the cuts outlined in the employee letter, the airline also says it plans to retire older, less efficient airplanes and replace them with larger jets. American Eagle says the long-term goal is to better match the equipment with the markets and routes they fly. Airlines for America, A4A, has presented recommendations to the U.S. government for improving security and immigration as a way to boost travel and tourism to and within the United States. A4A Senior Vice President for Safety, Security, and Operations, Thomas L. Hendricks, said, quote, "We need to act promptly and decisively to make travel and tourism promotion a national priority," end quote. To facilitate and grow inbound travel and tourism, A4A urged the U.S. government to speed the issuance of visas, particularly for high-growth countries such as Brazil, China, and India. Recognize and expand, on a reciprocal basis, other countries' trusted traveler entry programs that mirror the Customs and Border Protection, or CBP, Global Entry Program. Improve the processing of passengers entering the United States and avoid diverting CBP staff from existing airports and overseas pre-clearance locations to other tasks. Domestic and international travel contributed $1.1 trillion to the U.S. economy in 2010 and was directly responsible for nearly 7.5 million American jobs. In 2011, 60 million international travelers visited the United States and spent an estimated $134 billion. Southwest Airlines hosted a celebration Wednesday for the arrival of the carrier's very first Boeing 737-800 aircraft at its maintenance hangar in Dallas. Employees, media, and invited guests had their first opportunity to see the new aircraft as Southwest executives hosted a walkthrough and tour of the airline's newest addition to the fleet and brand-new aircraft type. The plane must still undergo several regulatory and conformity procedures before it's entered into regular service, beginning on April the 11th. Southwest officials say the plane will play an important strategic role in its future. The Dash 800 aircraft carries 175 passengers, close to a 30% increase over Southwest's current fleet, which will improve unit cost per flight and complement the existing fleet with opportunities for longer-haul flying and schedule flexibility by allowing additional capacity in high-demand, slot-controlled, or gate-restricted airports. Southwest is planning to take delivery of 33 of the Dash 800 aircraft in 2012. EADS/Airbus, Boeing, and Embraer have signed a memorandum of understanding to work together on the development of drop-in, affordable aviation biofuels. The three leading airframe manufacturers agreed Thursday to seek collaborative opportunities to speak in unity to government, biofuel producers, and other key stakeholders to support, promote, and accelerate the availability of sustainable new jet fuel sources. The trio of manufacturers signed the agreement at the Air Transport Action Group, or ATAG, Aviation and Environment Summit in Geneva, saying the production and use of sustainable quantities of aviation biofuels is key to meeting the industry's ambitious CO2 reduction targets. Coming up on this edition of Aero News, are America's co-pilots undertrained? And they call them NOTAMs, Notice to Airmen, for a reason.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with today's report on Aero News. It's Friday, March 23, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Three-quarters of the co-pilots at two regional carriers visited recently by federal inspectors did not have enough hours to meet new training standards the FAA proposes for them, so says a report in USA Today. Calvin Scovell III, the Transportation Department's Inspector General, told the Senate Transportation Subcommittee on Aviation that the co-pilots fell short of the 1,500 hours of flight training that the FAA says they should have starting in August of 2013. The FAA wants co-pilots to have the same 1,500 hours required of captains wishing to be certified for an airline. The current requirement is only 250 hours. Worse, perhaps, was the news that neither of the airlines visited had any plans in place to assure that the co-pilots reached the training standard by the deadline. Scovell would not identify the two regional carriers visited. Opponents of the proposed new standards say the quality of training is equally, if not more, important to just racking up hours of flight time. The pilot of a Cessna 182 who failed to check NOTAMs, Notices to Airmen, was arraigned Wednesday on charges of possession and transporting marijuana for sale in a Long Beach, California court. Brian Choppin was released on his own recognizance, but he will appear at an initial hearing April 12th. And he might never have been noticed, except that he busted a TFR in place for a visit by President Obama to the Los Angeles area last February. The 43-year-old pilot was intercepted by United States Air Force F-16s after violating the TFR and escorted to Long Beach Airport. While it was determined that the flight posed no threat to the president, Choppin was turned over to local authorities after a large amount of pot was found on board the aircraft. Along with any civil penalties that may be meted out in the case, Choppin faces the permanent revocation of his airman privileges for transporting pot in the airplane. Despite an NTSB finding of pilot error, Pilatus is being sued by the widow of a pilot who was flying a PC-1245 that went down near Butte, Montana, fatally injuring all 14 people on board. Janet Summerfield has also sued Martin Aviation Incorporated in connection with the case. The Billings Gazette reports that the complaint, filed in Butte District Court, alleges that the airplane had a defective fuel system and other factors that made it unreasonably dangerous. Martin Aviation in Santa Ana, California, is being sued for failing to properly maintain the airplane. The flight originated in California and was en route to Bozeman, Montana, when the accident occurred. The NTSB probable cause report cited pilot error and indicated that the plane was overloaded and became unbalanced during the flight, but the board's findings are not admissible as evidence in court. The amount of the lawsuit has not been specified. An Air Force F-16 Fighting Falcon crashed near Kunsan Air Base, South Korea, during a routine training mission on Wednesday. The aircraft, assigned to the 36th Fighter Squadron, was flying a mission as part of the 51st Fighter Wing's ongoing exercise. The pilot safely ejected from the single-seat F-16 before it crashed into a rice field. No injuries have been reported, and response teams are on the scene. Well, imagine you're on the way from San Francisco to Shanghai, and your flight is delayed 2 days because of inoperable toilets. That's exactly what happened to passengers on United Flight 857 recently. A mere 3 hours into the flight, several of the lavatories were found to be inoperable, reports the Associated Press. The flight diverted to Alaska, where things continued, dare we say, to go down the toilet. Once on the ground, the passengers had to wait another 2 hours before deplaning. Meals and hotel vouchers were provided, but there was more waiting, as the Alaska terminal did not have the staff to handle 262 sets of vouchers. Then came problems at the hotel, as many of the passengers, being Chinese, could not check in because they did not carry the requisite major credit card. Day two, and a replacement aircraft arrives, but mechanical problems kept it from departing, and it was time for another round of vouchers, vouchers, who's got the vouchers? Finally, on day three, a second replacement aircraft arrived, and the trip was continued. United says it will refund passengers' tickets and provide additional compensation. One passenger took it all in stride, saying, quote, "If we'd known we were going to be here this long, we'd have done some sightseeing," end quote. The moral of the story, be careful. You don't get Shanghai'd on the way to Shanghai. That's all for this edition of Aero News. I'm Glenn Moyer. I hate to rush off, but I have a fortune cookie to open and read. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.